We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Thanks for tuning in to the only podcast dedicated to all things Montana State University, from football to golf, cross country, and men's and women's hoops. We've got you covered, whether you're listening online at msubobcats.com or subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. We're glad you found us. I'm Jason Alvin, as we're back on the Bobcat Insider after a brief hiatus as COVID-19 and kind of shut some things down. We'll sit down with head volleyball coach Daniel Jones to get his thoughts on what he was able to accomplish this offseason, which was shortened up by this national crisis. We'll touch base with head football coach Jeff Choate to see what he's doing this year as a second straight year without spring ball per se for the Montana State Bobcat football program. And we'll talk to Tori Martell, whose team was in the midst of a historic run here for the Montana State women's basketball program and ended up one game short of the NCAA tournament as they were set to play Idaho in the Big Sky Conference Championships before the COVID-19 crisis canceled the remainder of the Big Sky Conference Tournament. All that's next right here on the Bobcat Insider. We're joined back here on the Bobcat Insider by head volleyball coach Daniel Jones. And coach, obviously it's been a while since we've talked to you. It's been a wild off season for you, I guess, probably first and foremost. Obviously, how's the family doing? How are you been able to keep things in check there at the Jones household when you have some young kids, six and under?
Yeah, three, six, and under. So we've got our hands full. But I got to say, kids are resilient. And I think as humans, we're resilient. And in this time of unknowns experiencing things we haven't experienced before, I think we're all just kind of taking it day by day and doing the best we can. So it's a lot of fun at times, and at other times I think we're all ready to pull each other's hair out.
I think that can go for almost maybe anybody across the country here that is cooped up in their homes. But coach, we obviously appreciate you joining us here, and you were able to get a little bit of work in here for spring volleyball, but to just kind of walk us through that process, what the moment was like when you had to tell your team, hey, we're going to have to suspend activities and we're not going to be able to see. You're going to have to do a lot of your workouts from home and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. It was kind of gradual for us. You know, we had spring break, and the team all went home for spring break or went to different vacation locations for spring break. And there was that shadow hanging over because of the cancellation of the men's and women's basketball tournament. There was a shadow hanging over us at that point. You know, what is going to be the outcome here for the rest of us? And just as they left campus, the conversation we had is we can only make decisions based on the information we have today. So plan on being back on campus after spring break, and you know, we'll go full steam ahead then. And then obviously as that spring break week unfolded, you know, more information became apparent, and you know, more action was taken by both the Big Sky Conference and Montana State University as an institution. And so it was more of an unfolding than one dramatic moment. And then since then, it's just been, you know, the logistics of how we manage things from there on out. But, you know, the team has been great. You know, their responses to the different circumstances they've each faced have been very resilient. You know, and the progress we made this spring was, you know, we worked really hard in the gym, as we always do. But I think one of the things we have been focusing on the last two springs is really the development of our team culture. And that's something we've been able to continue to focus on and continue with. So it doesn't feel like our progress has been completely halted. But at the same time, obviously not being in the gym and not being physically present with each other has been quite an adjustment.
And you mentioned that, trying to build the culture and continue to grow, obviously coming off a 15-14 season where you went to the Big Sky Conference semifinals. A lot of the youngsters, the freshmen that played integral roles for you, got their feet wet, and they continue to help this team evolve. What can you expect from those young kids filling the roles of, obviously, an Alyssa Rizzo who's gone, Evie Wilson, and Sydney Matheson, who have now departed from your team?
Yeah, you know, I think it's so important that we give them opportunity to learn, and I think having the group that we've had this year, being able to witness what Alyssa, Sydney, and Evie did, that's the greatest learning experience they can have, is to see those things put into action by some of their peers. And so they've seen what it takes to be successful. They've seen the organization and the dedication, the commitment, and the toughness that it takes to be successful at this level. And they're wanting to build on that. And so that's the exciting thing, is that they've had a great example, and now how do they make it their own? How do they make it authentic to themselves? And that's really what we're working through right now is you know, I think we haven't talked a whole lot about filling the void of what those three leave, because I think, you know, if you play the money ball scenario in the well-versed book, maybe we're looking for five people or six people to fill the role of three, you know, in terms of, you know, production on the court. But I also know that there's at least five people on the team in terms of leadership who can fill the role of three from that leadership standpoint. And that's, you know, the production standpoint, we've got to get in the gym and figure that out. And you know, that's obviously, we've hit pause on that for the time being. But I think the leadership standpoint, the culture standpoint, and the volleyball IQ, we're still able to work on at this time. So we're working away at those things.
Well, and speaking of leadership, you look at this in this uncharted territory. Last year was kind of uncharted for you as well, with just yourself and Cole Iazzi trying to manage there the coaching aspect. But you were able to add Carly Thomas to your staff here shortly before this halt in all the workouts. What did you see from her getting into the gym and that sort of thing that she will bring a value to this team moving forward?
Yeah, Carly has been phenomenal. I want to just, before I get on to Carly, I just want to mention again just how special last year was with Cole. You know, Cole and I have formed a bond, I think, that's going to last a lifetime through our experiences of facing the adversity of last year together. And to have the team rally around that situation the way they did was quite phenomenal. We, of course, were looking to bring someone in to help share the workload. And Carly's just brought in a high level of understanding of the game, number one. She was an All-American center at Missouri State herself. You know, went to the NCAA tournament, has represented USA at the highest level playing international volleyball. So she knows what it takes to be wildly successful in this game. And so she's brought that mindset to the gym. I think Cole and I are similar in this, from the standpoint that we approach the game from a defensive mindset. That's both our backgrounds. And so what Carly has brought to the gym with that offensive mindset has really shown itself already. You know, her connection with Ali Lynch, our returning setter, you know, has been strong already. And then also just her passion for getting the middles more involved in our offense has been great as well. So, you know, we're looking for big things to come from this this coaching change. And when there's no doubt about it that we have, you know, we're really excited to have Carly in the gym and to see what else she can bring when the time comes.
Well, you mentioned Ali Lynch there, and one of the key pieces coming back for you, the setter. Started every game last year, played a lot for you last year. But what do you do moving forward with her developing that relationship with Carly? How much more do you rely on her and her knowledge that she gained from this past season?
Yeah, I think it's huge. It's like any position in any sport, the more you play, the better you get, the more comfortable you feel in your role. And we've seen that from Ali as the season progressed. I mean, I think back to her freshman year, when she had a very limited role for us, through to her sophomore year where she was sharing some time with Karina Leto and Sydney Matheson, to running the show this year. You know, she just grew leaps and bounds. And again, I think Carly's expertise and knowledge in that specific position is already pushing Ali in a direction and challenging her to be better in a direction that, you know, she didn't reach last year, you know, at a level she didn't reach last year. And so, again, just the experience that she's had is going to stand her in great stead. She knows how to deal with the big moments because she's been in big moments. And then just adding a layer of teaching and learning with Carly is going to help a ton. There's no doubt about it.
You also talked a little bit about the middles. There may be your deepest returning position there, your middle blocking position with, you know, Emma Pence in there and Kelsey White and Casey Odell, who got a lot of time. Talk a little bit about their development and what to expect from that big group there in the middle.
Yeah, you know, we have four healthy middles in the gym right now, which is has been an you know, we haven't had that previous years, you know, through injuries and different things. You know, Kelsey White's kind of, you know, done most of the work in the middle for us at this time of year, and then we've had to supplement in the fall. And just to see, you know, Kelsey and Emma and Casey, and adding Suze to that, who's coming back from her ACL, having four healthy middles in the gym, it's just such a great opportunity for learning and growth. I think, you know, I will openly admit that, you know, of all the positions that probably got the least attention last year is the middles. You know, we were focused on getting our offense running, and we tried to get the middles more involved. And, you know, it was just a lot to go with Cole and I. And so to have that focused attention on them right now has been truly life-giving, and I think it's going to open up our offense and to a large degree. You know, we're looking for Kelsey to come in and be the senior middle, for her to show that leadership, and she's done things. You know, she's been to the USA volleyball tryouts. She's put up some big numbers at times, and what we're challenging her with is how does she create the consistency in her game and show leadership in that position in terms of that consistency. You know, and then with Emma getting a lot of playing time last year as well, you know, the similar for Emma, she had matches last year where she went off, she was unstoppable, and then other matches offensively where she kind of went missing. So we're looking to, again, create that consistency for her. And you know, both of those two, all of our middles are more than capable of being dominant in this league, which is the exciting part for us, and just making sure we utilize them to the best of their abilities. And then I think to speak to Casey and Suze, you know, Casey's a special kid. It became public knowledge last year that she had open heart surgery in January of 2019. You know, she's a year on from that surgery now. And to see her growth and development physically as much as, you know, from a volleyball IQ and understanding of the game standpoint has just been phenomenal. And I'm thrilled about her development and just can't wait to see her keep growing in the game. And, you know, Suze has had a long road back from a from an ACL, but it's a kid who's got a huge volleyball IQ and an extremely intelligent person who knows what to do when she's put on the court. And it's the challenge for Suze is getting her body to a situation where she can do what she knows she needs to do. But she's working diligently on that. And there's certainly, as you say, a lot of depth in that position, which is fun.
And you look at things with one of the players returning for you that was voted first team all conference by her peers and the coaches in this league. Hannah Scott returns for you on the outside as well. And what does she need to do to take that next step, make that jump to where she's in the mix for Big Sky Conference Player of the Year at the end of next season?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think Hannah knows this, and it's no secret. She just needs to create greater consistency. Again, she would dominate matches, and then in other matches, I think, the most obvious being in our semifinal against Northern Colorado, she just never quite got firing, and the challenge for Hannah is to bring that fire every night, and really to do it every night, she needs to do it every day in practice. And what I'm seeing from her at this time of year has stamped a huge amount of trust from me in her and her mindset and the way she's the behaviors she's bringing at the moment are the ones I want to see from her in terms of building that trust that she can go out and do it day in, day out, and night in, night out when it comes to competing.
And Coach, we'll let you run on this because I know we're busy this time of year kind of trying to figure things out. But bringing in four talented freshmen, you just signed Avery Turnage, a versatile player for you that might be one of those middles again. Kelly Cross, an outside hitter. Delaney Sheeran, a setter. And Shayla Weber, a kid from Montana here at the libero position. What do you see from those four, and how do you feel that they'll fit into this program?
Jason, you're talking my language, my friend. I love this time of year when we get to look at the future. I mean, we can play the chess game and on paper and say, hey, this is how good we're going to be and this is what's going to happen. But with these four kids, I get chills on my, the hairs on my arms and the back of my neck stand up, just from the standpoint of they're outstanding young women. Who are going to bring an experience from the levels that played at in both high school and club that's going to help elevate our gym immediately. I think Delaney is a direct replacement for Sydney Matheson. She's a setter out of Arizona. So when we talk about direct replacement, it's pretty much direct as you can get in terms of they're both from Arizona. They're both setters. Delaney's been a long-time commit. It's fun you can start to talk about it now, but she committed early in her sophomore year, gave us a verbal commitment early in her sophomore year. She knew this is the place she wanted to be, and we knew we wanted her here. So we're excited to finally welcome her to campus this summer. And, Shayla Webb is similar. Shayla, I've had my eye on her since the first time I saw her as an eighth grader when we walked through the doors here at Montana State. That kid is a firecracker. She's a coach's daughter. She's a multi-sport athlete from Joliet, Montana. And I can't wait to see what she's able to do once she focuses in on one sport and one position at the libero position. I think, there's potential for her to be a very special player. Kelly Cross out of Truckee, California, but it's more close to Reno than it is anywhere in California. It's up in the mountains there. But she outside hitter, dynamic kid, great ball control, huge passion and energy. If anyone notices Kelly Cross, it's going to be because of her personality and her passion and energy. Her game speaks for itself, but her personality speaks louder, which is a lot of fun to have in the gym. And they're the kind of kids who really drive the culture. I think we can do whatever we want to do from a standpoint of our culture, our values, our systems. But unless we're approaching it with passion and enthusiasm, it's going to lack, Kelly's one of those kids who's going to fill the gym with her passion, and everyone's going to be drawn to that and want to step up and equal it. And then, as you pointed out, we added Avery Turnage just this last month, which has been awesome. Avery is a kid I've watched for 2 or 3 years and which just hasn't been clear to me what her best position is. It hasn't been clear to me what need she would fill for our program. Her high school and club coach is someone who I had at the University of Utah with me when I was at the University of Utah. Just stayed on me about Avery. She's a special kid, Dan. You got to get her. And we got to the point early this winter, in January, where we had a camp and Avery came up and just really impressed us with her versatility and her quiet determination to be excellent at whatever she does. She's a legitimate option on the outside, in the middle, or on the right side. And I think she's going to, again, raise the level of our gym and help us, do the things we want to do on the volleyball court. So couldn't be excited about more excited about all four of them.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time here this afternoon on the Bobcat Insider. Look forward to talking with you throughout the offseason and the summer as well.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Appreciate any time.
Head volleyball coach Daniel Jones here on the Bobcat Insider. Stick with us for more. You'll hear from Bobcat head coach Jeff Choate and Tori Martell later on in the program. You're listening to the Bobcat Insider. We're back now on the Bobcat Insider, joined now by Bobcat junior shooting guard Tori Martell. Tori was named the Big Sky Conference top reserve here this season, coming off the bench for the 19-1 Bobcats. And Tori, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here. Obviously, some pretty wild times. How have you adapted since obviously the Big Sky tournament was abruptly canceled and all of your classes have now gone to the online format?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a crazy last 3 weeks. We've kind of had to switch up everything for school. Obviously, I wasn't supposed to be in like a lot of clinicals starting after basketball season, and that obviously have gotten moved online. So it's been a lot of change with class, with school, with basketball, just trying to find things like to do for workouts. It's been pretty difficult. And yeah, just trying to stay busy and not go too crazy in quarantine here.
And you look at it, you mentioned your clinicals, you were supposed to be in the hospitals. You were in a little bit of that during the first semester of this school year, and maybe a little bit here so far in the spring semester. But what did you see? Did you see any of this or any of the early stages of the COVID-19 when you were in the hospitals? And what have you heard from maybe some fellow nurses that you've been in contact with?
Not really personally in Bozeman, at least. We didn't really talk about it while I was in the hospitals. Like, I don't think anyone really expected it to get like this. But I mean, from nursing standpoint now, we've just been doing a lot of research, like as a class, and just like trying to like just get on top of like what the COVID-19 is and like what it does to our bodies. So I've just been learning a lot about it, and that's been really helpful just to like understand exactly like what is going on with it and how scary it actually kind of is. So I don't know, it's been cool to learn about, but obviously been a crazy times.
Well, and you were part of a team that was, maybe impacted the most in this season as far as sports cancellations and season cancellations go. You're 31 games into the season. You're two games into the Big Sky Conference tournament. You were set to face off against Idaho for the third time. Each team had won a game, and you're out doing community service. You get the news from social media on the bus ride back to the hotel. What was it like when you and your teammates finally and figured out that the tournament had been canceled? Take us back to that moment, and what was going through your head when you actually saw that?
Yeah, like you said, we were on the bus getting like right off of the community service. So like obviously we all thought we were still good to play because we just did a community service thing as a team. And I don't know, we got on the bus and then I remember Oli saw it on Twitter and we were all like, no, like that's not real. We didn't like believe it. And then I think you said something like, yeah, like we'll have a team meeting when we get back. But I think we're all just like in shock and we were like, okay, I guess the Big Sky tournament might be canceled now, but we still have the NCAA tournament if we get like, because we would be the team that would get to go. So I think we were all still in the mindset that that would be happening. It was all just kind of like a crazy thing. I don't think anyone really had processed it until we went into the meeting room and talked about it with the coaches and Leon and everything.
And you look at that meeting, and this group obviously was on the cusp of doing so much. Obviously, a 19-1 Big Sky regular season, something that had never been done. You were looking to set the consecutive win streak with there in that Big Sky championship game, the most wins in program history. Is there a little bit of what if that goes through your mind right now that you've had a couple weeks, a few weeks to kind of look back and think about the things that this team could and did accomplish?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think there'll always be a what if for everyone on this team because we did have such big accomplishments this year, but that won't take away from like what we did accomplish because we did do some pretty special things. And even though we were one game away, we still tied the records, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, so we still had an amazing season, and obviously this is unforeseen circumstances, but it's affected a lot more like everyone in the United States. So
And now you look at it, you say it has affected everybody. Have you been able to keep in touch with your teammates and kind of just check in on them, make sure everybody's still doing okay? Because obviously, as of right now, everybody's kind of scattered about and scattered throughout the country.
Yeah, for the most part, I think we've all been keeping in touch pretty well. But most of us are kind of, a few of us are in Bozeman here at least still.
And you look at that now with last season put behind you, you're the lone senior returning next year. What do you have to do this off season that's going to be different for everybody? As you mentioned, it's kind of already different for you, trying to find ways to work out and how to get workouts in. What do you have to do as the senior, as the leader of this team, to make sure everybody is, you know, getting their work done and preparing for next season as well?
Yeah, we kind of, me and Coach Ben and Darian and Ash are talking about it a little bit. We just need to find ways to get on with, like, get workouts in with each other virtually. You're sending videos in or just sending, like, basketball dribbling workouts to do, because obviously we don't really have baskets here that we can work out at. And I don't know what everyone has exactly at home, so it's going to be hard to find ways to do basketball-wise, but I think it's just going to be important to come together as a team some one way or another if we can't get down the court together, because we are going to be such a new team. We're going to be a very young team. So I think just finding ways to build our chemistry early will be crucial for going into next season and doing what we want to do next season.
Well, Tor, 2019-20 didn't end the way that anybody in the country expected for any school. Obviously, there were still a lot of things unfinished and left undone. We look forward to getting you back on the court next year and looking forward to getting back and getting back some normalcy here in Bozeman, Montana. Thanks for joining us here on the Bobcat Insider.
Thank you.
That was Tori Martell, the Big Sky's top reserve here from 2019-2020. We'll continue with head coach Jeff Choate next on the Bobcat Insider. We're joined back on the Bobcat Insider by Bobcat football coach Jeff Choate. And coach, obviously, first and foremost, want to thank you here for joining us and make sure you and the family are doing well during these crazy times. Once again, thanks and appreciate your time here today.
Yeah, this is an interesting time for sure. I mean, it's been a challenge to kind of keep track of guys. You know, right now, everything's going well as can be expected. I think everybody's adjusting to the challenges that we have, and where kids have been focused on their academics. And I think their biggest frustration right now when I talk to them is, you know, just the uncertainty of when they can get back to what they consider normal. And, you know, the challenges that are presented when all the gyms are closed, that you've got to kind of get a little bit creative in terms of trying to stay in some semblance of shape.
Well, and that brings me to one of the questions I want to touch base with. But as big of a role as weightlifting and the weight room plays, in your sport especially, when these guys have got to get creative, they've got to do body weight stuff, they've got to figure out some circuits on their own, how do you guys as a staff track that? Did Alex Wilcox come up with something to give these guys and give them a little bit of guidance?
Yeah, we do remote workouts a couple of times a year anyway. Usually we send them home with some stuff that they're to do, understanding that not everybody's going to have a full gym when they go home at Christmas time. The month of May, we usually send them home with a workout. You know, at spring break, they'll have a workout. So this isn't totally foreign. We, you know, push it out through our team communication. And Alex has done a nice job where whatever the lift is, let's say, whatever that movement is, he gives the kids a couple of different options, like an all-body weight, maybe to have some dumbbells, or maybe they're fortunate enough to have, like, a gym in their garage or something. And so they can modify the movement based on what the equipment is that they have available. And, you know, the NCAA and the Big Sky have done some things in terms of not requiring, we can't require it to be mandatory. And so the accountability piece is really on the individuals. And so one of the things that I know some of our guys are doing within their own position groups is kind of having little chats where they send each other pictures of what the workout that they did that day, or talk about what they did that day. I was talking with Ty O'Connor today, and he said that he and some of the other senior DBs are kind of taking a lead on you know, providing that trust and accountability piece within the team itself.
And you look at this, we talked last year briefly, you had the brief spring ball. I think you got 6 or 7 legitimate practices in last year. And now this year, you guys don't get an opportunity to get out there. You pushed it back to So the weather could be better for you guys this year. And then the COVID-19 happens. How have you taken that in stride? And what have you guys done to adjust for the spring time that you were going to get on the field? Now, how are you guys adjusting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in the same boat as everybody else. I think it'd be more frustrating if, for whatever reason, it was isolated to maybe us or regionally or something like that. But understanding that everybody in the country is really dealing with the same challenges, I think it's, that's a positive from that perspective. You know, we spend a lot of time on Zoom and WebEx, and we have, I think, a pretty good system going right now with our position coaches checking in with their individual groups each day, a team meeting each week on Wednesday, stick with our leadership curriculum that we would do on Wednesday mornings, have our regular install meetings as they would fall during spring ball with our guys. We're just doing them remotely.
And you look at that, Justin Udy coming in at the offensive coordinator position. He's got a group of quarterbacks. You bring back Tucker Rovick, who started 12 games a year ago, Casey Bauman, too, and then the transfer in from North Carolina State down there. You bring in a veteran group. How are the quarterbacks working with Coach Udy to adapt to his offense and kind of learn the way he wants to run things?
Well, Justin's a really tech-savvy guy. He's kind of been one of our leaders in terms of really embracing the remote education stuff, whether it's the Zoom technology. We've invested in some remote learning technology that's specific to football, kind of shifted some of our priorities that we would have had in terms of feeding guys during the spring. And so we've invested in some technology that I think can help us there. And I know he's... you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's a little bit of a blessing in disguise because he was really kind of a tech-savvy guy anyway, and he's been a guy that we've leaned on, not just with our players, but as a staff, to kind of help us get some ideas about how we can reach these guys and continue to stay in touch with them. I know he does his install meetings each week with quarterbacks. He has a couple of group meetings and then individual meetings too. So he's done a nice job. He's got a small group, so it's a little easier to stay on top of them. But clearly one of the downsides of us not having a spring ball is, you know, Justin, the tweaks that he would have put into our system, we're not going to have the ability to do that now. And then, you know, the quarterback competition is going to have to be delayed. But as I mentioned earlier, it's no different than anybody else.
Bringing back the veteran offensive line that you guys do, you only lose Mitch Broad along that offensive line. Obviously a stalwart for your program there, but how do you replace some of these guys? You talked about the leadership groups that you have. You have some good guys coming back, but if you look at it, Derek Marks, Mitch Broad, Travis Johnson, Kevin Cassis, Braden Conkle, all those guys, pretty important roles from last season.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you think about that senior class, Jason. You know, Mitch Broad was a partial scholarship guy. Kevin Cassis was a partial scholarship guy. Braden Conkle was a partial scholarship guy. Travis Johnson was a transfer. Josh Hill was a partial scholarship guy. You just kind of look at it, it was like, that was just a group that really developed well over their time here at Montana State. And I think that says a lot about, you know, the job that we're doing in terms of nutrition and what we're doing with our guys in the weight room. But those guys are not going to be easy to replace, and they never are. I mean, when you have a really good group of seniors, what you've got to count on and hope is that they did a really good job of leading, and the underclassmen were paying attention. And I feel like that was the case. It's exciting to see guys like Kai Okada and Tyrell Thomas and Lewis Kidd, Chase Benson step into leadership roles because they've been mentored by some really good guys.
You mentioned Ty Okada, a guy that really showed flashes there late in the season when he was healthy, what he can do. Who's maybe a guy that Bobcat fans will get to know here this season that they may not have seen on the field a lot last year?
Well, there's going to be some interesting battles, like an inside line. Like a guy that I think that quietly had a tremendous sophomore year was Callahan O'Reilly. He ended up being, I think, our leading tackler, and he was maybe overshadowed a little bit by Bryce Sturt or Brent Conkle or Josh Hill. But, you know, Callahan's a guy who's kind of quietly put together a nice front half of his career. And so even though he has been in the lineup, he's a guy that I think could step into a more prominent role for us. I think there's some other classmen on our defensive front that maybe not our household names, like Drew Aretha and Blake Schmidt. And young man Marcus Weir out of Billings Central High School. Those three guys are going to be really relied upon to step into significant roles for us, as is Tyson Regenball, who was a junior college transfer for us a year ago. So I think those are some guys. You know, young man Rylan Ork, who had a really solid redshirt season for us out of Missoula, Big Sky, and excited to see how he could help fill in some of the losses that we had in the back end. We had three guys that were more or less starters for us, and Jacquay Allen, JoJo Henderson, and obviously Braden Conkle, that we're going to have to replace in the back end. So a combination of guys like Jeffrey Manning Jr., who's the transfer from Oregon State, Rylan Ork, Ty Okada, Tyler Bohannon, who are going to move back to safety. Those are guys that are important for us. And, you know, we're still in the market looking for a guy that can maybe bring some experience and maturity into the back end for us. And so wouldn't be surprised if we add another piece to the puzzle here before we get started.
You mentioned Jeffrey Manning, and he's a guy that was already on campus. He enrolled during the winter semester. But how important is it to get those guys in, especially when you're counting on them to replace some of those pieces like you mentioned?
Yeah, I think it was important for us just to be around him and get to know who he was, kind of what motivates him, what kind of worker he is. I was really impressed with him. He had a relationship with a couple of the guys on the team. He knew Greg Filer. He knew Tyrell Thomas. They actually went to junior high together. And so he's got some close friends that he was connected with. We had recruited him out of high school. And he's a great kid. I mean, he's fit in really well. He worked really hard in the weight room in the offseason. And it's just unfortunate that we're not able to see what he's capable of doing on the field. But we'll get there eventually.
And finally, Coach, I'll let you go on this. I know you're a busy guy. But you look at the Bobcats that graduated this year. A lot of them were looking to get some pro days in. They were able to do a little bit of that. But how have you helped navigate for those seniors like Bryce Dirk and Kevin Cassis this time leading up to the NFL draft, where it's kind of uncertain how that is going to play out, and those guys losing those opportunities to have those pro days?
Yeah, I think it's always interesting how the pro day comes together. Bryce had signed with an agent and was training at an outside facility in Denver. And so the agent was kind of ahead of things and got some video of him and some testing numbers down that they could pass along to the scouts. And obviously the scouts can examine and look at. We videotaped all of Kevin's workouts. I think Kevin, Logan Jones, obviously Mitch Brott. And I'm trying to think who else was included in that workout that they did here in Bozeman. And then Travis was working out in L.A., and so he's got some video of this, him doing some stuff. And so, Brent Conkle was the other guy that was here. And so I think they're going to get what they need in terms of being able to see how they move, what kind of times they put up, all that kind of stuff. I think it's always been a little bit overrated. One of the things I tell our guys is, you want to make an NFL team, you want to get an opportunity to play at the next level, put it on tape. Your film is your resume. And so the good news is for all of those young men, they've got a lot of tape at Montana State. They played a lot of downs for us. They played a variety of level of competition. We've not really played a Division II team since my first year here, and so it's all against Division I opponents. We've played Power 5 teams since we've been here multiple times, and so I think that's going to bode well for those guys. There's a lot of good tape out there. I don't know what it's like to play a game without Mitch Brott on our offensive line. And so, as I've told some agents and some scouts that I talked to, you guys decide whether you think he can play there or not. I know this. Show me another guy who started 50 straight games on the offensive line at three different positions. So I think your film's your resume, and I think all those guys have enough to at least create an opportunity for them to get into a camp.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. The resume of Bobcat football continues to grow under your tutelage. We appreciate you joining us here on the Bobcat Insider.
No problem, Jason. Have a great day. Go Cats.
You too. That was head coach Jeff Choate here on the Bobcat Insider. We'd like to thank all our guests for joining us here on the Bobcat Insider, including head volleyball coach Daniel Jones, Tori Martell of Montana State Women's Basketball, and head football coach Jeff Choate, as they took time out of their busy schedules here as they've adapted to new ways of doing things here for Bobcat Athletics here in 2020. And we appreciate you for joining us here on the Bobcat Insider. Tune in next week for more from Montana State University on the Bobcat Insider.
You
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSU Bobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.